He could have jumped from the pinnacle of the temple. But all Jesus had come to assemble a people. And one way to gather a crowd is to put on a spectacle. And that would have been one. That's a way of creating a Woodstock movement. He might have manipulated the crowd that followed him and exploited their interest and acceded to their wish that he become their king. He could also have regimented people and turned them into mass men. There's also a way of galvanizing even prisoners, as in Gulag 3, to get them jointly to feel for a moment what it means to be free as they attempt to arrive in power. But Jesus didn't use any of these methods. If he had, he might have left a small mark on history. But he had come for some other purpose, namely to turn crowds into a flock. He knew all about crowds. They were constantly around him. In fact, they didn't give him time to eat occasionally. And within the context of this particular text that we shall read shortly, you will hear the people racing around the shore of the lake to be sure to be in place when he arrived. And now we read the text. When Jesus stepped ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he took pity on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he set himself to teaching them at great length. He was moved with compassion, we read. These crowds had their religion, they had their festivals, they even had their scriptures and their clergy. And yet the shepherds that had been appointed over them to go out before them and to go in before them had clothed themselves with the wool of their sheep. They had not strengthened the weak or healed the sick. They had not brought back the stray and sought the lost, to give the description of Ezekiel. And so these persons, the people in the crowd, became food for the wild beasts that prowl the spiritual jungles and the dark ravines of our existence. Small wonder that Jesus' heart went out to these people. He understood their situation only too well. He had created them. He had created the lake on which they were presently situated. He had come to redeem them. But as he looked out upon this crowd, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no direction. They had no commitment. They had no overall purpose in life. But there was within them some yearning to hear a voice of authority. And they could distinguish between what Jesus was saying and what they were being taught by their rabbis, and came to the conclusion that he spoke as a man with authority. And yet at this moment they were still like sheep without a shepherd. They had not yet been brought together as a flock which listens carefully to a voice that it knows because it speaks to individuals by name. And so Jesus set about to cure and correct the situation. He read very simply. He set about teaching them at great length. That's what they needed. Something substantive to hear and to respond to. In the parallel that we have in the Gospel of Luke, we are told that Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God, how God goes about this business of reestablishing his rule in, over, through word and sacrament. That's how you turn a crowd into a flock. You teach them about God's rule. That conveals them. That gives direction. That has the sound of an authentic voice. And so crowds are solidified into the kind of listening and living in glad obedience of faith. Because sheep know a voice. He calls them by name. They are his. And they're always known in the New Testament as the flock of God. The scripture that you just heard read speaks of him as feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. You know that this tonight, we symbolize the Lord's Supper, which we are about to celebrate. That is part of the teaching at great length. And you and I are here either preparing for or already at work as his under shepherds. And therefore are asked to project the same kind of compassion into the crowd, into the multitude that Jesus manifested, and to teach them at great length. So that when the Master Shepherd returns, you will be given that crown of glory to which the Apostle Peter refers, the crown that never fades. Can you imagine any nobler task or greater privilege than to go out into the world to make disciples of all nations, of all tribes, by teaching them at great length?